Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, repeating what I shared with the kids. When Jesus had spoken again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Thus far the reading. Jesus said today, "Behold, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Last week, Jesus declared that you are blessed by God. Today, he expands on that declaration by telling his disciples and us that not only are you blessed by God, but that that manifests itself and that you have great value to him. He has given you the light of life. Not because of the things that you've done for him, but because he values you enough to give his most precious possession for you, his only begotten son, to die that you might live. In the ancient world, salt had value that we can't understand. To us, salt is something we add to our already salty French fries at McDonald's. Confession. To us, salt is something our doctors ask us to limit or eliminate from our diets. Or as in recent weeks, salt is something we sprinkle on our sidewalks so that we don't slip on the ice. But in the ancient world, covenants were sealed with salt. In the ancient world, the use of salt was a bond, an indication of a bond of fidelity, a bond of faithfulness. Many ancient roads were constructed as trade routes to transport this precious commodity of salt. In some ancient cultures, such as ancient Tibet and ancient Rome, used cakes of salt, like money. So when Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth," he was saying that you have value. You have value, and I have given you the light of faith. The light of faith, which is way more valuable than anything the world values. Because faith is the light of light that bridges, if you will, the gap, the expanse to eternity. Did you know that you were salt? Did you know you were salt of the earth? What does that mean? That person is the salt of the earth. You can see Jesus shining in them. Did you know that you are the light of the world? I had to ask myself as I studied, why salt and light together? Why did he talk that way? And I questioned, was there some significance in the order that he spoke about these things, salt and then light? Salt seasons and preserves, which is great, but light gives and sustains life. So why didn't Jesus first declare his disciples to be light? For me, I think it's because, well, I think he first spoke of salt because I think he first declared them to be salt of the earth because one's salt directly affects the light that one shines. Seems to me that we have a choice in what kind of light we shine. And it doesn't depend, it seems, on the degree of saltiness, but the presence or the absence of saltiness. You've heard the phrase, perhaps, shed a good light on something. Shed a positive light on something. Today's readings ask the question, what kind of light do you shine? The light of God's mercy or the light of men? Last week, we talked about the established fact that through faith in Jesus, God the Father has declared you blessed, just like the disciples are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he said. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the poor in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. Blessed are you when others hate you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account, Jesus said. Today he adds, blessed are you, for you are the light, or you are the salt of the earth. Blessed are you because you are the light of the world. Through faith in Jesus, we are blessed. You are blessed by God right where you sit. But part of being blessed by God is being reviled and even persecuted by the wicked. Part of being blessed by God is having the wicked utter all kinds of evil against us, against you, falsely, on account of the name of Jesus. But it is precisely in that mix of being blessed by God and hated by the world that Jesus also declares us Christians to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. As Christians, he calls us to be salty light. As I considered how much you and I are valued by God, I can't help but question what it takes to be valued by the world. As I consider the lengths that God has gone to save us, to send his son Jesus to die on a cross, I can't help but call into question the lengths that we go that we might be valued by the world. Maybe if I dress a certain way, maybe the world will recognize me as valuable. Maybe if I talk a certain way, use certain expletives, maybe the world will see me as valuable. What if I talk the same way? What if I support the same things, agree with the same things, and like the same things that the world likes? Maybe then it will finally recognize me as having value. Or maybe I can skip church and go to practice so that the coach will finally play me. But it will never be enough. The world will take and take and take. It will take all that you have. The world will take all that you are. It will use you up and then it will cast you aside. These things are among the transgressions of which the Lord refused to recognize the fast of the house of Jacob. They were behaving that way. In our Old Testament reading, the rulers of the house of Jacob charged the Lord with injustice. How dare you, Lord? Calling into question why he refused to recognize their fasting. They pointed to their fast, their pretense of religion, as a sign of their salt and light, borrowing words from Jesus. But all this did was prove that they had lost their saltiness and were no longer good for anything. Their fasting was nothing but hypocritical show, lacking the very essence of the practice of fasting. For proper fasting presupposes a heart filled with repentance, a heart pleading with the Lord for forgiveness and mercy. And so Isaiah has written, "Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure. You oppress your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and even to hit with the wicked fist. You make great show of your false piety," Isaiah charges, "tooting your own horn before the Lord, but you lack self-control, foolishly thinking that your fasting could hide from the Lord your relaxing on the Lord's commandments." Again, borrowing words from Jesus. But the point is, relaxing on any point of the commandments is the same as breaking them. Not only were these men proud and self-seeking, but when they fasted, when they got hungry, they got cranky. Ever been there? When I get late on a meal or something, I can get a little cranky. But instead of controlling their crankiness, which is part of the fast, they became short-tempered, arguing and fighting over everything, even to the point of slapping people around. Their behavior was like that of the Sunday Christian who makes great effort to blend in with the folks in church on Sunday, only to make great efforts to blend in with the rest of the world the rest of the week. So the Lord rebuked them, and basically saying to them, "Complain all you want, but a fast like that will not be won't make your voice heard on high. External show of religion means nothing if the heart and the mind aren't affected by it. True religion begins with a repentant heart. And the true proof of repentance consists in valuing the things God values rather than the things the world values. Discounting wickedness and oppression in all its forms. I'm sorry, discontinuing wickedness and oppression in all its forms. Practicing instead mercy toward everybody. Is not this the feast I have chosen, declares the Lord? And then he goes on to say, well, while you're at it, share your bread with the hungry since you're fasting anyway, and bring the homeless poor into your home. Of this Isaiah has written, then shall your light break forth. Your light will break forth. Remember the story of Moses in the wilderness leading Israel, the pillar of fire that went before them? Like the pillar of fire had led the people of Israel in the wilderness, God himself, he declares, your righteousness shall go before you. He is your righteousness, and he will go before you. And the Lord himself will have your back, just like in the wilderness, that the enemy cannot attack from the rear. The world is fickle. The things the world values today won't be as valuable tomorrow. But the value the Lord places on you is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't need to give up or lose yourself before God will value you. He already values you. For while we were sinners, Paul adds, Christ died for you. The God of the universe valued you and values you before you even knew it. And that will never change. The world would have you put a dimmer switch on your light. And even today, the world actively tries to remove the salt of the truth from your Bible, your salt shaker, if you will, demanding that you relax your stance on the commandments. Why are you so uptight about the commandments? Just loosen up a little bit. It's okay. It's not okay. That didn't work. I covered up my mic. I should have practiced. It's not okay. It's not okay. The world demands that you allow falsehood to be taught to your children and to your grandchildren, that the stench and the rot of sin and death might continue to dominate the world and the people we care about. But like one of the things my dad taught as I was growing up, when you use something that doesn't belong to you, or when you borrow a tool from someone, whether it be a wrench or a drill or a lawnmower, if you borrow something from someone, you should return it in as good as or better condition than how you found it. You don't leave the wrench laying on the garage floor or the drill. I think that was pointed at me. You don't leave it out in the weather for it to get rusty. You don't leave it covered with dirt and grime. If the mower is covered with grass when you're done with it, clean it off before you give it back. If the wrench is greasy, even if the wrench was greasy when you got it, clean it before you give it back. I think these are the things Jesus was trying to tell his disciples and us. It is our responsibility as those blessed by God, and you are, to leave his world a little better place than how he loaned it to us. How he loaned it to us. The world should be a better place for our having lived in it. That those who are perishing, and this is kind of the difficult part, those who hate us on account of the name of Jesus may see our good works and give glory to our Father who was in heaven. Before time began, he knew you. Before time began, he values you so much that he sent, did you notice I said values? I didn't say valued. Before time began, he valued you then, he values you now, and he will continue to value you so much. He had his mind set on you before he even started creating things. He had his mind set and his mind made up to send Jesus to die on a cross for you. That's how much value you have. Through Jesus Christ, behold, you have great value. Behold, you are the salt of the earth. Behold, no matter what people say, you are the light of the world. So you are highly valued by God. And the world can't take that away from you. So let your light shine. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.